Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, and with me in the studio today, and I'm excited about this, are two long-term friends, leaders in the body of Christ, pastors, Pastor Del Hurst, and also Pastor Wes Dudley, serving together at Double Westgate Church, a church that I pastored many, many years ago, and so in my home church today. And the reason we're here together is because a few months ago, I was at a leadership conference, and I was at Double Westgate Church and hosted by Dove Westgate Church. And the two of you, I thought, hit the ball out of the park when you talked about how to develop leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that today. So, Daryl, welcome to you. And, Wester, welcome to you.
Thank you, Larry. We're delighted to be here and delighted to be talking about developing leaders. It's just something I know that both Wes and I have a passion for. And we just realize the importance of it and have seen the importance of it. And, you know, one of the things that I think is just so critical as it relates to developing leaders is simply awareness.
Yeah.
Just awareness. I mean, I am always looking for quality young people in our church. I'm always looking to identify, affirm, call out mm-hmm. positive character traits and giftings. As a leader, I feel like probably my number one job is to identify potential new leaders, cast vision for them, for them, to equip them, to develop them, just to call out what's inside of them that they might not even see,
right.
that sometimes God gives me the ability to see. And so I really feel like it's just so critical.
Well, Dove Westgate Church clearly has young leaders, and you're doing something right. I mean, both of you, from the senior pastor role, executive pastor role, you're really doing something right. Because I honestly don't see many churches. I get in lots of churches throughout the world. I don't see many churches have the amount of elders, for example, who are young, really young. And maybe some of them would listen to this thing. I don't think I'm that young, but they really are. And on the pastoral team, I mean, you know, you with your executive pastor role, of course, you work with lots of other pastors and helping Daryl, Wes. They're young. So what's your response to all this?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I do want to echo just what Daryl said, too. It is an honor to be on this podcast and to join you guys. And the thing that I was even thinking, too, is Daryl saying that, like, we're just being part of a culture that I think esteems us very highly. And so I have been called higher. I have been pushed. I have been developed myself by other godly men and women that believed in me. And so that's something, you know, not only do I feel passionate about, but I see this as a part of our culture, our DNA. And so it's exciting to be able to speak into this some more. But I do think that I'm already just even standing on the shoulders of those that have already just set the bar really high in a good way.
Now, before we go on, let's just get a little bit of your story. How long have you been pastoring, Daryl? What have you done before? I know you were an executive pastor in the past, which is your role, Wes, today. And just talk a bit about your roles now. And then, Wes, I'd like to hear the same from you, just so our audience knows who you are.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Larry. I have been serving as the senior pastor of Dove Westgate Church for 14 years now.
Wow.
I served for 5 years before that as executive pastor. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I had a long career in real estate sales, real estate brokerage, developing everything real estate associated.
Right.
And I always believed that would be my lifelong career. Mm-hmm. And then God sovereignly called me out of the full-time business realm. I like to maintain a part-time involvement in business just because I really feel it keeps my feet grounded. It keeps me in touch with what parishioners are, you know, kind of involved mm-hmm. in on a daily basis. So I do maintain some level of involvement in business, though it's minor at this point. But God called me to serve our former senior pastor as an executive pastor for 5 years. And that turned out to be such a good situation. I came on, it was an interesting transition because I was a self-employed individual for all my life.
Right.
And then I started my own business along with some partners. I was my own man. I did whatever I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it. I was my own man. And then I had to come and serve someone else's mission, someone else's vision, and was able to do that. And the adjustment went better than I think most people thought that it would.
You did it very well.
It went really well. And what happened is, and it's really helped me going forward now in the role I currently am in, but I came in with the mindset that I was going to do anything I could to make Dwayne Britton, our former senior pastor, look good. Right. It was my job to serve him, make him look good. And that was my passion. That was my vision. And I really felt like I genuinely did that. Mm-hmm. And then as a result, we developed such a good working relationship. And then when it was time for him to move on, it became natural for me to flow into that role. So God really, I think, blessed that whole thing.
Fantastic. Wes, how about you? Give us a bit about what you're doing today and how you got into this bit of the process.
Yeah, so I have been involved in various ministries over the years. And, you know, God just through finding an amazing woman, you know, brought me into Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I moved here from Michigan area. And we found the Dove Network, Dove Family right away. And it was just an incredible journey. But the one thing that I'm really thankful for is, you know, even just with Daryl and even you too, Larry, just, you know, seeing something in me that I did not see in myself and not even fully recognizing some of the pastoral giftings. And I'd even say a calling that may have been there, but due to some things in the past, ways that our family had maybe been burned through some church plants, it was the farthest thing from my mind. And so when Daryl had approached me and said, hey, listen, we see something here. We'd love to see you come on to this pastoral team. You know, I didn't. And Daryl remembers it probably very well too. I mean, I remember us going back and forth in his office for, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, I want to say 2 to 3 months just discussing, processing, figuring this out. And I'm giving pushback. However, once I feel like God gave that freedom, gave that yes for me to kind of jump in there, man, I was off to the races. And just to see like not only my calling and my gifts come alive in ways I didn't realize, but to also be able just to be part of just an incredible Dove family. And it's just been an amazing thing for our family. And so jumping into this role has been an exciting thing. I've seen myself grow a lot. And again, this is part of my own development, you know, seeing God just stir things in my own heart, but being able to pass that onto others is just, I find very fulfilling, very life-giving. And I think I can say this with, you know, complete honesty that, you know, every morning getting out of bed, jumping into this role, into this opportunity is something I do look forward to. And I genuinely love where I've been planted and I love thriving just in this calling in pastoral ministry at Dove West Coast Church.
And you guys both do it so well. And so something, Daryl, I'd love for you to respond to. Again, I've heard you guys teaching some of this. I'm going to draw some things out of you that I thought were very powerful. And that is often you see someone who has charisma, you know, and think, man, that's, you know, all you see is the charisma, and you don't see Ray behind the scenes, but you think, they can preach well, they can do leadership well, I got to get them on the team, versus walking with people. Talk about how you did that so well and how you do that so well.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I do like to cover is that we cannot become enamored by charisma or perceived, I'll use a word that we use sometimes, anointing. Oh, they're so anointed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an ill-defined term, but I think some of us understand what we're saying when we say that. Don't be enamored by that. Those are things we value and we look for, but before we look for that, we need to look for someone who has a strong character, has a profound spiritual depth, has been faithful in serving in small ways, and then we look to that individual to see what else we can draw out of that. I like to use the example, like in my journey into leadership, I served setting up chairs in the auditorium years ago. I served as an usher years ago. I served as an assistant small group leader. I served as a small group leader. I served in many, many ways in the church before ultimately becoming an elder and then becoming an executive pastor and now the senior pastor. And I feel those kind of character development processes are significant, and that we don't just take someone who's got charisma and quickly throw them into some leadership role. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it sure is. Wes, how about you? How do you respond to that?
I heard it said one time, you know, that many people go into ministry with a combination of the calling and the gift. Mm. And it doesn't take long before they become enamored by their gift and forget their calling. And I know that that is a battle and a tension, I think, that many people, that many of us can wrestle with and strive for. So as we're trying to develop others, and man, we see as we're walking with them and they see this calling, you know, that's been placed on them, but then we also see the gift, it can be somewhat of a tension to be managed as you're walking with people and saying, man, we see this there, but that's not the main thing, and do not prioritize, you know, that just that gift and trying to actually help cultivate, you know, godly character. So that is part of developing, you know, passionate leaders, is being able just to call them higher when it comes to character and present opportunities for them to grow. And that's the thing, again, that I'm grateful for, even on my own journey, is that I've been given opportunities to grow, not just even so much just in the gifting component, but even just in the calling side of things, and just realizing, okay, this is a calling here, and don't get so enamored by these gifts you have, but recognize the opportunity and the power of just serving others, as Daryl even mentioned too, just the many opportunities that we have just to invest in the body of Christ and exemplifying it in that way.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've watched both of you do over these last years is I've watched you pursue people that you thought had a grace on their lives whereby they could really be used of God in WSCA Church or wherever they're called to in the future. An example of that, obviously, you already talked about how you really pursued Wes. Talk more about that.
Yeah, so I started out by talking about looking for quality young people in the church that we can affirm and call things out in. And I think one of the primary jobs of a leader is to be identifying next generations of leaders. And I can think of so many examples of where we've done that at Westgate as it relates to those serving on the eldership team. Mm-hmm. But I'll specifically use the example of one of our associate pastors who, as early as junior high, I recognized character in this young man. Mm-hmm. And I saw, this is a man that has character. He has, he's dependable, faithful, reliable. And we, a number of years ago, had an open position for an associate pastor. And I was kind of hoping this guy might apply for it. And he did not. And so I set up a meeting with him. And in that meeting with he and his wife, I said, let me just say, he didn't see himself as qualified for that role.
Okay.
And you know what? He was right. He wasn't qualified for that role. But I knew that God qualifies the call more than sometimes calling the qualified. Mm-hmm. So I met with he and his wife, and I said, listen, I'm not offering you a job, but I would like you to pray about applying for the job and see what you feel like the Lord's saying. Ultimately, I still remember the email I got from him several weeks later, which said that the headline in the email said, peace to apply. In other words, we have peace to apply for this role. And I'll never forget that email because I kind of had this big fist pump, yes, because I just really thought this could be the guy. It turned out he was the guy, and he's now been on staff for something like 7 years and just been a tremendous asset to the team. But I took a guy of character who very clearly was not qualified for the role, but we developed him, he developed himself, and now he's just doing a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wes, talk about, you know, how you have learned how to find leadership and how you've learned how to help them walk in a path that would get them into other types of leadership. I know a story from the scriptures that means a lot to you, and this is Elijah and Elisha, for example.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Yeah, I love that model, and I see it honestly as a model of just so much that we can unpack. And in a sense, when you look at, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 2, you see Elijah and Elisha and their relationship. And yeah, there's this tenacity, there's this persistence that Elisha has that, you know, he's like, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Elijah's like, no, just stay here. I'm going to go on to the next place. No, I'm going along. So there is that component of just of a desire just to be a part of something. But what I love about just that story there in 2 Kings is, you know, is how Elijah responded to Elisha. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he simply just, after this tenacity was very much, you know, on display, he went to him and said, you know, what can I do for you before I leave? And just, I guess, putting it in our own terms too, how can I help? Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. I mm-hmm. recognize what I see, even as Daryl's even saying too, there's some good character here. So how can I help you? Because I think one of the traps that we can fall into, especially when it comes to developing leaders, is answering questions that they're not even asking.
Good.
And so, and what I mean by that too is, I'm not denying the fact that there's critical leadership principles that can be passed on, but at the same time too, how do we meet them where they're at? And sometimes, but they're the power of a simple question that mm-hmm. Elijah did. How can I help you? What is it you're looking for? And then we know what Elisha said, you know, I want the double portion. And right. then, you know, Elijah kind of set some parameters. You'll see this, you'll get this double portion if you see me leave. But the fact that it got poured out to him, but it started, that double portion came because Elijah first asked him, what do you need? How can I help you? And so that's, you know, when it comes to even just Christian ministry, when it comes to developing leaders, we do need to have way more of the garden versus the factory. We're not trying to stamp out, right? Just all these leaders. How do we just crank out as many as we can? No, there's a cultivation that has to happen, and it's tailored to who they are. And so finding out who they are, but also how we can best help them is so important if we're going to, in my opinion, develop them well.
Mm, awesome. Daryl, you've often talked about how you like to raise up leaders from within. That's your preference. Talk about that.
Yeah, I do. I love raising up people from within. Nothing's better than finding a son or daughter of the house upon whom the favor of the Lord rests. These people already have our DNA. They understand and appreciate our value systems. And so you're beyond some of the most important things right off the bat.
What does son or daughter of the house mean?
It simply means someone that has really grown up in your church, in the house.
They have the same DNA, the same values.
The same value system, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. By the way, one of the things that I love doing also is to see our leaders or potential leaders go through the Dove Leadership Training School, because that's just a great place to instill, mm-hmm. here's our values. Mm-hmm. It's really, to me, that's a really important aspect as well. But I love to raise up people within because you don't have to. Sometimes the worst thing you have to do, or the most difficult thing, I should say, you have to do is unteach people.
Right.
And so you have to unteach them before you can teach them sometimes. Well, if you bring up someone that's a son or daughter of the house, they kind of already have those values. You don't have to unteach or unlearn things before you can really instill the values you're looking for.
Every church has a church culture,
really.
And that's why that is really so important. Anything else about that?
Well, yeah. Another thing about that is I think that when there's a son or daughter of the house that clearly demonstrates an interest in being involved in church leadership in some capacity, you got to make an open door. You got to create an open door somehow. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense. Like, we don't really need to fill a role here. We had that situation several years back. We had a young man who graduated from college with a business degree. He had an opportunity to start at a financial services company, great job offer, but he really had a passion to be involved in ministry mm-hmm. at our church. And we didn't really need him, honestly, at the time, but he was willing to take a part-time role at the church and work part-time somewhere else just to kind of get by. Mm-hmm. And so we made a position for him. And what we didn't know is that within several months, our youth pastor would be stepping down, and none of us knew that at the time. And so it was just a seamless transition to bring him in. Yeah. But had he started at that financial services company, he wouldn't have been in play anymore at that point. And so just to create opportunities to have young people that are sons or daughters of the house have an opportunity to serve in some capacity is important to create those opportunities.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wes, talk to us about how Jesus trained, you know, leaders. I know.
The perfect example, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Like, you talk about a model, man. There's so many things that we just see through his life. And, you know, because he took, you know, in only 3 years of earthly ministry, he took 12, what we would say, by his ordinary men. And we know, you know, many other men and women, too, you know, equipped them to change the world.
Right.
And they did it.
Yeah.
Right? They changed the world. And, In Mark chapter 3, if I can just share this here too, in verses 13 to 14, you know, we're told that, you know, Jesus did three things with his disciples. It says, you know, he went up on the mountain and he called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named as apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. So we're told that, you know, he called them out. We're told that he took them with him wherever he went, and then also that he sent them out. And there's so many things that in that capacity that we can when we look at what Jesus accomplished mm-hmm. there and how he modeled that, that's a pretty practical example, in my opinion. And so we're not even trying to talk about just some nebulous ideas when it comes to just development. And Daryl's given some great practical ideas too and thoughts. But, you know, recognizing, man, Jesus called, he called them out. He chose the ones he wanted to influence. And he affirmed them. He's like, I see you. I'm calling you higher. I want you to come follow me. And they did, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, secondly, he took them with him wherever he went. You know, we right. can do that too. And that, to me, is a critical part of development. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to take some different young men with me on different missions. I'll occasionally go visit different missionaries and connect mm-hmm. around the world and have some of them go with me. And even just... We have our youth director, as Daryl was just referring to him. You know, he tagged along with me to a trip down to Brazil. And then the next time we went down there, he was my assistant leader. And now he's actually leading a trip this next summer all on his own. And so to see that development take place, but it's coming through just taking him along with me. That's right. what Jesus did, right? He right. took his disciples with him wherever he went. And then, though, he didn't stop there, right? He sent them out. And we know, I mean, the common passage is given, you know, you go out now and make disciples of all nations, and recognizing that we have that power to do that as well. And not only just by sending them out practically, but also the power of blessing. And I know right. we believe that in the Dove family, yep. that there's so much that can be done as we just equip, you know, practically, but also, man, there's so much to, yeah. as we just cover them in prayer yep. and seeing the gifts being fanned into the flame through the laying on of hands. And, you know, we believe this stuff. And again, Jesus modeled it so well for us.
So good. Wow, we're almost out of time. Hard to believe. I'm going to have you guys back, if you're willing. We're going to talk about some more leadership things in the future. But I want to give you opportunity for anything else on developing leaders today as we wind down this podcast.
Yeah, I have a thought, Larry. I wanted to talk a little bit about taking people where they're at. Like, you may see a leader and you have this great vision for them, and while you paint this role for them, they're not quite ready for that. Right. I would actually use Wes as an example. We were in need of someone to oversee children's ministry, kind of as a director over that area. And I met with he and his wife, Juliana, about doing that. Mm-hmm. And as Wes said, he really had the brakes on. And so he was working as a self-employed painting contractor. And he said, well, okay, I'll do it, but I don't want to be paid. And I'm not coming on staff, but I'll just do it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll take you where you're at. You know, and I saw what he had in him.
Sure.
And then next thing you know, we finally got to the place where, okay, he'll work one day a week, and he'll give one day a week to the church, and then he'll, you know, mm-hmm. do his contracting business. And that turned into 2 days a week, and that turned into 4 days a week. And, of course, now he's full-time. But if I had pushed too hard
right, right.
and said, no, I need you full time now, or this isn't going to work. No, I took it where it was at, and we just took it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people just need a little time mm-hmm. to work into that.
Yeah. 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 Wes, he had a plan for your life and you didn't even know it, yeah, right?
Right.
And look how it turned out.
Yeah. I know. It's I'm not at all where I'm at, where I thought I would be. And I am so grateful for God.
Yeah. Anything else yeah. you want to add here?
Yeah. And even on that note too, just as Daryl's speaking, I'm thinking through our staff and the other people that have come on. And so I feel like even as Daryl again worked with me in that capacity, even just seeing our current children's ministry director and just knowing she had gone through a very challenging season. And I know that in her marriage really did not end the way that she had wanted. And so as we were even praying as a team and just trying to think through, okay, God, who do you want to raise up here in this mm-hmm. new season for our kids ministry? I remember going to her and talking, and it was about a year later, she actually accepted the position, and she came up to me about a year later. She's like, I want to just thank you for you calling me higher in this capacity. I remember her saying, I just thought as a divorced woman that I had mm-hmm. nothing to offer the church. And so just to be a part of this church family that recognizes the gifts that are there in the people, and even the good golly character, and how do we call them higher? And say, well, you're not casting aside anybody here. We can grow together. We can flow together. Mm-hmm. But as Daryl pointed out, taking people where they're at.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that season, there was a lot of brokenness. I think she would even say she was working through, but to see how God has just mm-hmm. brought so much healing, so much victory. And she even now is a different person than when she first came on staff, and a vital part of our team mm-hmm. and a very passionate mm-hmm. leader, I would say, as we were able just to kind of, you know, call her higher
Excellent.
In that capacity too.
Well, you guys have called so many people out, you know, and we see what God's done with them today. It's amazing. You both do that so well. And I want to have you back in a future podcast, and I want to talk to you about how you work together. You're both very passionate, very strong individuals, and God made you that way. And yet you work so well together. Mm-hmm. And we want to talk about that, because a lot of like senior pastors would struggle with certain staff persons. It just doesn't seem to work. But somehow, God's given the two of you grace and how to work together in a way that really builds the kingdom. We want to have you back and talk to you more about that in the future. And so everyone listening today, check out the show notes. You mentioned, Daryl, the Dev Global Leadership School. You know, that school is available any place in the world. You can go online and get that. You can get that if you live locally in Pennsylvania. You can get that right here, or you can get a satellite school in different parts of the world. But that's available, and there's much more on there that can help you resource you in the future. So, pastors, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's a great blessing having you.
You're welcome.
And looking forward to being on the podcast with you again in the future, when we talk about how a senior pastor and executive pastor can walk together in ways that really see the kingdom of God built and grow. So thank you, everyone, for being with us today in the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast, and where we learn these small things, if we can apply them to our lives, these truths from God, will make a major difference in our lives in the future as we obey the Lord in the process. God bless you, and it's great having you with us today. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.